is now in session.
This episode of DJ's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Tuesday, February 28th, 2017. A very tricky yet interesting six-game slate on tap for Tuesday. I'm your host, the judge, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. Hope you guys had a nice Monday. Monday was one of the ugliest days of basketball I've watched maybe all year, and not surprisingly, it was one of the lowest scoring nights I've seen that I can remember this year in terms of just overall FanDuel drafting point production. It was no one could make a shot. It was some ugly basketball, but there was still money to be made. And if you put together guys who didn't get ejected, a couple guys who had big nights, you probably were able to make some good money. But it was a bizarre night. Before we dive into the heart of the show, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. I know we have lots of new listeners, which is fantastic. So please, if you could take a couple seconds and just write a nice little review for me, it would mean the world to the judge. It really would. And to the bailiff as well, who's sleeping in a really weird position. Like, I don't know if you guys know too much about it. So the bailiff is a French bulldog. And French bulldogs, man, they lay and sleep in like the weirdest positions. They do like yoga poses. It's very bizarre. Anyway, I digress. So please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Also, the judge is big on retweets these days. We are really trying to grow the show these last, 20 or 25 games of the NBA season. Can you believe there's only 22 games left for most NBA teams? It's so sad. It's heartbreaking. But this is like the best time of the year to play NBA DFS, as far as I'm concerned. So let's finish strong. Let's grow the show. More listeners. More retweets. So when I tweet out the show to the land, please retweet it out. Little things like that, man. I say it every show. It means a lot. And it's different between me doing five shows a week and three shows a week. So if you like the judge, hopefully you will do stuff like that. Also, you may have noticed that the last, I think, what now, three straight days in a row, around an hour before lineup lock, I have tweeted out a link giving you my top plays of the day. As I said yesterday on the podcast, so much changes between the time right now that I'm taping this, which is 3:55 a.m. in the morning, and lineup lock. And that's only going to grow as the season winds down and we get more teams tanking, more teams resting guys, more teams saying there's fake injuries, and we get more late news. So I'll try most days to do a little 5 to 10 minute audio clip that I'm going to tweet out about an hour before lineup lock. I'm not sure I'll be able to do it every day because time is a big problem for me. But if the jury out there is nice enough to the judge, hopefully I'll be able to keep doing that for you guys, because you guys did seem to like that the last couple of days. Where else are we? Don't want to talk about that. Don't want to talk about that. Please. How about our lovely sponsor, Draft? So please download the app Draft. This one's a big one. If you haven't downloaded this, please do it. The three things I'm mentioning at the top of the show, the show's free, guys. So if you rate, review, and subscribe, just retweet it out and then download the app Draft. The judge, applauds you. You are a dream lover to the judge if you do those three things. But when you download the app Draft, please use the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. Remember, if you download it and you can't find out where to put the promo code, because that seems to be an issue a lot of times when people download, just let me know. Just tweet at me and say, hey, judge, my username on Draft is, XYZ, but I did download the app, and I will make sure you get credit and then I get credit. All right. Lastly, before we dive into Chambers for Monday, I want to say a little bit. I'm getting I mentioned NASCAR, the last, about a week or so, and man, I'm getting so many trolls coming at me left, right. I'm weaving. I'm dodging. Also, maybe I'm driving. I'm like swerving in the car. I'm giving people the finger. Man, so much hate and so much trolls because I mentioned NASCAR. Dear God, no one can joke around anymore. I mean, first of all, I don't have a feud with the people at other sites or doing other podcasts. But I think most of the other pot, first of all, I like using a lot of the other sites. I use them because they have really good tools. A lot of the tools that I like to use when I'm doing my research, I like some RotoGrinders tools. I like some Fantasy Labs tools. But in terms of the people that they hire to do like their live shows and their podcast content, for the most part, and not all of it, a lot of times I think it's garbage. And that is because the people that they have guys who have made live finals, and making a live final in DFS has nothing to do with relaying picks and giving information and relaying strategy to the regular player, like most of you guys out there. People who are using scripts, playing the maximum number of lineups in a contest, they're not making choices every night. They're letting a computer build random lineups for them. The regular player, like most of us, we make choices every day. They don't make any choices. They play everyone. So they have zero in common with the average player. And it drives me nuts. Not to mention, most importantly, they don't watch the games. And if you're not watching, you can play golf DFS. You can play NASCAR DFS. You can play especially Major League Baseball DFS. And you don't have to watch the game. I don't need to see how, I can't think of a baseball player, but how someone's curveball is looking. I mean, maybe that would help a little bit. But I see someone, baseball, you look at the stats. You can really just look at the raw data, and the analytics alone can help you take down tournaments. Maybe if you're nice enough, the judge will do some baseball shows because I'm pretty good at MLB DFS. But basketball is the one sport in DFS that watching the games matters, especially now in the stretch run of the NBA. Like I mentioned, when you have guys resting, you have injuries, tanking, you need to know who's getting the minutes, who's going to get the usage, who to play, what's been going on in games. You can't just look at a box score. You can't just see, oh, Valanciunas played 12 minutes. I guess Toronto went small that night. You need to actually be able to watch these games so you can relay, the proper advice to people. And a lot of the podcasts that I've listened to, for the most part, and not all of them, but many that I listen to are just complete garbage when it comes to that. You can tell it gets the judge riled up. I mean, because when I first started playing, 4 years ago, well, first of all, there weren't any podcasts doing DFS. But when finally podcasts started to come up, I'd be like, "What's that guy talking about? That's not true. Like he mentioned things that happened in the game that didn't happen." So you could tell he was just reading a box score. And to me, in NBA, you need to kind of know what's going on. So bring a friend over to the judge. Stop listening to those podcasts. Bring them to me. We can go on their site and use their tools. Nope, no issues with that. But for podcasts, bring your friends to the judge. Also, let's be honest. The podcasts are a little boring, right? They put you to sleep. So if you want, if you want to put it on as background music when you're falling asleep, go ahead. You want some entertainment? You come to the judge and the bailiff. I wish the bailiff could talk, man. Do you guys give your dogs voices? Like I do that for the bailiff. But then I wonder, I'm not sure how his voice would be. Like sometimes I give him like a British accent. It's very bizarre. I'm not sure why I do that. Anyway, all right. So Chambers, I'm dying here, man. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. God, you guys gotta cut me some slack. The trolls out there. Woo, so many trolls. I love the trolls. All right, so Monday, Chambers. What is Chambers, Judge? Chambers is a glorious daily fantasy sports tournament that we run. Three of them each night on FanDuel, one on DraftKings. We have a power rankings that we unleash usually every week or every couple of weeks. We have a best of the best tournament, which we usually run once a week. So by the way, I just updated the DraftKings power rankings. I'll probably maybe unleash that on the show tomorrow. And I'm going to try to do the FanDuel rankings tomorrow as well. And then the best of the best this week, we'll probably just do the best of the best on Friday this week. And then for the rest of the season, hopefully we'll do the best of the best tournaments on Friday. But for Chambers for Monday, the three winners, I love seeing new players. We are now order in the court. We've had over 800 players playing the FanDuel Chambers this year. That is a phenomenal number. So thank you guys all for playing. And remember, if you've been listening to the judge and you haven't been playing Chambers yet this year, it is time. Let your show your training and show it off to the world. So we had in Chambers on Monday, a newbie, his first win and first cash of the year. I'm going to butcher this name. It's a tough one. Consigadinero? I guess it's not that bad. Put up a score of 281, but I don't know his Twitter handle. So remember, if you guys want, if you in Chambers, let me know what your Twitter handle is and what your username is on FanDuel or DraftKings. Also, my boy, Greatman5, who I think did a consult with the judge, his FanDuel username is crazy. It's like 574F740DDC1147A. I don't know what the hell all that means, Nate. But congrats, man. It's his second win of the year, his third cash. He's getting a lot better, which is good to see. And then another username that, man, just doing these usernames might be the part of the show I hate the most. But Raymond Walker, I think, is his name on Twitter. But it's, man, FRMD Dassip. So Frim Dassip. I'm not sure what that implies. But that is his also his first win of the year. So congrats. His first win, third cash. So three guys on Monday who are – two of them got their first win, and then Greatman 5 got his second win. So that's really cool to see. On DraftKings, we had Beard Down BJ take first place, doubled 50, took second, and CK Stevenson 84 took third place. So congrats to all of you guys who cashed in Chambers on Monday. Man, I can almost just do, you know, when we do the segment on Dream Killers and Dream Lovers, I could almost just do a Dream Killers. I feel like this day the scoring was so bad, I shouldn't even do Dream Lovers, or maybe I'll just do Dream Lovers really fast. But I kind of want to do it just because I feel you guys need to know who played well and why, so you know going forward in future nights to play in DFS, which is why I like doing the Dream Killer, Dream Lover segment. But lots of Dream Killers. No one, like I said at the top of the show, no one could make a freaking shot. Ejections, foul troubles, tin men all over the court on Monday night. Let's start with Dwight Howard. Like, I had so much Dwight. This might may have been the most Dwight I had all year because I think I've said many times I attack Boston bigs. I built my house that I'm sitting in right now, playing against Boston big men. By the way, I'm not living in a house. I live in an apartment because it's New York City, and a house would cost $55 million. So I played a lot of Dwight Howard against Boston. And if you were following me on Twitter, you saw that I tweeted out one possession where he got a rebound. He just stood there. Someone for Atlanta missed a shot. Al Horford doesn't jump or try to even go for rebounds anymore. I think he's given up on life when it comes to rebounds. Amir Johnson has the vertical leap, vertical ability of my dog. And the rebounds were just – Dwight should have gobbled up every freaking one in this game. And he was on his way to. He had 34 FanDuel points in 27 minutes, and then he got ejected. And the first ejection – the first technical was him and Horford were whatever, in a little scuffle. His second one, he got a dunk, and then he kind of like – basically hung on the rim a little bit. And the refs decided that they should be the most important factor in that game. And they wanted to feel important, and they decided to give him a second technical, and they ejected him. And it was absolutely insane. It was criminal. And if I was living close to Boston or Atlanta, wherever the hell that game was, I would have flown there or drove there or whatever, and taken my gavel and pounded the ref upside the freaking skull because he cost the judge a lot of money. Dwight was on his way to giving me about 8, 9, 10 times his salary. And on a night like this, that would have made us a lot of money. So that was disappointing. I was still able to cash in a lot of his lineups because he still hit value. He was only 7K. He was dirt cheap. But that was super disappointing. And the freaking refs. I mean, come on. Ugh, it's so annoying. Michael Beasley, not all his fault. He suffered looked like a nasty knee injury. Hopefully it's just a sprain and not like an ECL injury. He's going to go for MRI on Monday. He actually he got injured, I think, in the second quarter, and he came in, or I think he started because Middleton was out, and he had 11 points in 9 minutes. He was doing what Beasley does. He was putting up shots. He was scoring points. He had already 15 FanDuel points. And on a night when you had every power forward struggle around that salary price, around his salary point, which is around 5.5 to 6K, he was going to bust out for at least 30, 35 FanDuel points or DraftKings points. So really sucks that he went down. Ibaka. You know, the Benjamin Button play, for the most part, all of us should have seen this coming, that he was so chalk on this play, and there was really not a major reason for it. Yes, Lowry was out. Toronto. Who the hell did Toronto play now, man? Oh, this is going to drive me nuts. I remember, I can even remember vividly DeMar hitting the game winner in this game, and I can't freaking remember who he was playing against. That is annoying. Now I got to open up the NBA app during the show and waste all of your good people's time. Yeah, it was the Knicks. Oh, that's why. I blocked it out? Because it's the freaking Knicks. That's why. So Ibaka, you can destroy the Knicks' big men. They're horrendous defensively. So Ibaka wasn't a good spot. But I think, as I said on my short video that I posted yesterday regarding PJ Tucker, and even today when I did give some caution regarding playing Ibaka in the short little audio clip that I released. And that's because we've all seen Ibaka play, right? Like, overnight, did he develop some amazing magic? Did, like, he take some magic matrix pills to develop some superhuman offensive ability to like shoot, become like a really good 3-point shooter? Is he all of a sudden a really good player in the post? Like, what? Like, give me one thing he does well offensively. You can't, because he doesn't do one thing well offensively. He's okay, but to go all in on a guy like Serge Ibaka, it doesn't make a ton of sense. Now, still, was it he was still relatively cheap, around like 5.9K. So did it make sense to play him like in cash games? Of course. But was he a guy you could have faded in tournaments? Absolutely. I think I had maybe 40% exposure. He played 36 minutes. He had 15 points. The killer for me in this game for him, he shot 5 of 14, was he had 4 rebounds. 4. That's 4 rebounds against the Knicks, who don't rebound and can't defend anyone. And if you watch that game, it was basically it was one of the most dreadful games in human civilization to watch, because it was DeMar DeRozan and Melo just shooting, you know, horrendous contested 15 to 18 foot jumpers, and whichever one of those two made more shots was going to win the game. And DeMar made more shots. Melo shot 9 of 26, and DeRozan was in fantasy terms, he was good. In real life, I still thought he was not good for that team, because he was taking horrendous shots, not moving the ball, no one else got involved, just completely stopped the pace of that game. It was snail emoji, turtle emoji, just disgusting vomit face emoji. It was just atrocious to watch. Giannis was a dream killer. 42 minutes. He took 13 shots. Parker's not there. This was one game I didn't watch a ton of, so I can't, you know, I'm basically roto trash when I'm talking about this game. I basically faded this game for the most part, and which turned out to look like a good move on the surface. I think I had Giannis in like one or two lineups. I don't understand how in the world he only took 13 shots. I need to go back and watch tape of this game to figure out how that could happen in 42 minutes. He had 9 points, 9 actual points. That's at his price. That's abhorrent. He did have 7 rebounds, 8 assists, but not nearly enough at his salary. Greg Monroe, because Jason Kidd wants to be a troll and be Jason Kidd, he gave Greg Monroe in a beautiful matchup for the Bucks. Well, not a beautiful matchup, but a decent matchup against Cleveland. Because Triskett's not a great defender. He's undersized. Greg Monroe only had 19 minutes. He shot 5 of 7, 13 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds in 19 minutes. Why Kidd didn't play Greg Monroe more? Only Jason Kidd and his trolling self knows that. Steph Curry. I played a decent amount of Steph Curry, and he had probably his worst shooting game maybe of his life. He shot 0 of 11 from 3-point range. He couldn't make a freaking single shot. At one point, this caused me to throw I threw my gavel at the TV screen 3 different times. One was when Dwight Howard got ejected. One was when I watched Steph miss his like 8th straight 3. And the third one was when I saw, what was the third one? There was one more time. Oh, it was when Paul George committed his second foul in the first quarter. So it was 3 gavel throws from the judge on this night. That's how you know it's not a great night. Usually if there's 0 gavel throws, I'm making tons of money. 1 gavel throw, it's like a typical night. 2 gavel throws, you know, pretty much probably going to, you know, be even. 3 gavel throws, ooh, that means it's either just ugly basketball or I'm losing some money. So I actually broke even, so not horrible for as bad as the basketball was. So Steph Curry, he couldn't make a shot. He took 23 shots, 7 for 23. So the play was great. The usage was phenomenal. If you give me Steph Curry, he's going to take 23 shots. Like that I don't mind losing if I roster a guy and he takes a lot of shots. If he just has an off night, that's basketball. That's going to happen. What I care about is the usage. So that I like seeing Steph taking those shots. Okafor, 17 minutes. He got in foul trouble. That's why Holmes went nuts again for Philly. Corey Joseph, he played 34 minutes. He was a lock and load. He was too cheap, especially on FanDuel. But he basically put up a dud in 34 minutes, only 7 shots, 6 actual points. I blame DeMar DeRozan for everything that happened in Toronto. I blame Ibaka a little bit as well, because Ibaka still couldn't get some rebounds or something. But DeMar, it was impossible to do anything because DeMar just was so ball dominant. It just no one had a chance to do a freaking single thing on that court. And same on the Knicks side, quite honestly, although some other guys in the Knicks did have decent games like Courtney Lee. But Melo was a dream killer. Took enough shots. He was 9 for 26. I mean, 9 for 26. Took 26 shots. I mean, Melo still thinks it's 2008 playing isolation ball. He had 24 actual points, 4 rebounds. He was disgraceful. Isaiah Thomas, again, just couldn't make shots. He was 4 of 21 against Dennis Schroeder defense. So elite matchup. The shots were there. He also took 10 free throws. So the usage was fine. He just couldn't make a freaking shot. And Boston ended up getting blown out by Atlanta. So just that was just a bizarre game. It was a weird night. Paul George, you know, he only played 30 minutes. He got in foul trouble. He was sleeping on the court. When he played, he had a couple stretches where he looked like the old Paul George. Unfortunately, it was only a couple stretches, and Wiggins outscored him. So he was better than Carmelo, I think. But, he still was around 30 FanDuel points or so. Every Rocket was a dream killer besides Lou Williams. Lou Williams cannot miss right now. The rest of the Rockets were 10 for – oh, my bad. So the Rockets as a team shot 10 of 45 from three-point range. But without Lou Williams, who was 5 for 10, they shot 5 of 35. Like Ryan Anderson was 2 for 7. Ariza, 0 for 7. Beverly, 0 for 4. Harden. By the way, is Harden fat? Like, I swear to God, I just stared at the TV screen and I just wonder, like, for hours at a time, is he just out of shape and fat? Or is that just how he looks? Is he pudgy? I can't figure it out. Harden was 1 for 9 from 3-point range. And Eric Gordon, what a dud he was, 1 for 5. I mean, they just could not make a freaking shot. And that's why Houston lost. When you shoot that many threes and you can't make a single shot, you can't win games. Speaking of dream lovers, let's stay with Lou Williams. I mean, shot 8 of 15 from the field, 3 boards, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, 5 threes, 28 minutes, 7 for 8 from the free throw line. I mean, man, I don't get it. It's not going to continue for the rest of the year, but right now Lou Williams is locked in. His price on DraftKings was very reasonable. On FanDuel, he's still too expensive for my taste. He's $1,000 cheaper on DraftKings. He's around 5.2, 5.3K, but that'll probably go up now. Jeff Teague, I was real high on Jeff Teague. I recommended him all day. A lot of people tweeted at me very angrily. They said, oh, you cannot play Teague against Patrick Beverly. Beverly will destroy him. Well, I played Jeff Teague, and he did fine, like I thought he was going to do, because when you're playing in that fast-paced game, the thing that Beverly defense didn't worry me. What worried me more was other guys taking the ball away from him, like Monte Ellis and guys in that second unit who have been playing well for Indiana. But Teague was good. He was 5 for 13 from the field. But he had 12 free throws, which was glorious. 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 three-pointers, 36 minutes, had over 40 FanDuel points. He saved me in a lot of lineups, and that's why one reason why I was able to make a little bit of money, especially on FanDuel. Holmes was really good for Philly because Okafor got in foul trouble. Holmes should play more minutes than Okafor anyway. He's a better player in real life. How Coach Brown or anyone in Philly doesn't realize that is perplexing. I don't know if they're just trying to force Okafor minutes so they can trade him in the offseason. So they can try to get, you know, sucker a team like Magic Johnson or a GM who's stupid into kind of taking trading for Okafor. I can't figure it out. But whenever Holmes gets minutes, he's going to be a good play. Sarge was awesome again. 35 minutes, 6 of 15 from the floor, 9 of 10 from the free throw line, 21 points, 7 boards, 7 assists. I'm telling you, these European guys, like how well they can pass the ball. It's really fun to watch. I mean, guys like Jokic, Saric, anyone with an itch. Except Vucevic, not a great passer. But Sarge, even at 7K, he was able to pay off that price tag, close to 40 FanDuel points. DeRozan was a dream lover, but I want, you know, and as long as Lowry's out, he's going to be a lock and load. We'll see what his price gets to, because I am worried once he hits about 10K, he'll have no ceiling whatsoever. But he has over 40% usage rate right now, and he was. In terms of fantasy, he was really good on this slate. Draymond Green decided he wanted to play. He's had, you know, some last week he was bizarre, to say the least. If you watched any Warriors games, he was just screaming at everyone. He's just a malcontent man. So I had a little bit of him, but he had 14 points, 5 steals, 11 assists. He'll do that every now and then, but whatever. Brogdon for the Bucks, and this is as soon as the Bucks fall out of playoff contention, the Bucks are going to give Brogdon a ton of minutes. So he got lots of minutes. As soon as Beasley went out, he was the biggest beneficiary of that. And even if Beasley's out for an extended period of time, I think Brogdon will see some more minutes as well. 31 minutes, 8 for 15 from the floor, 20 points, 5 assists. He looked really good. Courtney Lee was good, but it's always hard to hit the click button on Courtney Lee. Although he has been playing better lately, so as long as he's still under 5K or right around there, he's okay to do these days. Dennis Schroeder was really good. I liked that play all day because Isaiah Thomas is just an atrocious defender. One play that I totally missed on was Goran Dragic. Did not see that one coming against Yogi Bear in Dallas. He played phenomenal. He was 37 minutes, 10 for 21 from the field, 24 points, 3 steals, 6 assists. I don't know how many rebounds, but I wrote down rebounds, and then I didn't put down a number. So the judge is a dream killer. I object to myself, my own note-taking ability. But Dragic was he was in a lot of winning lineups that I saw. He was really good. Seth Curry, was better than his brother on this day. He was 10 for 17 from the floor, whereas Steph was 0 for 11 from 3. I think Seth Curry was over 50% from three-point range at 29 actual points. Monte Ellis was really good for Indiana. He's at a resurgence. That is one reason why Teague's numbers have been down lately, because when Monte Ellis comes in, he's been handling the ball a lot. Like the old Monte Ellis used to gun the ball. The whatever this current version is, which I can't figure out what it is, he basically runs that offense, especially on the second unit. So he had 12 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. And quite honestly, Houston was up like 20-2 against Indiana. Indiana got off to a horrendous start. They were sleepwalking. Indiana's second unit came in behind Monte, Stuckey, and Christmas. And they all played really well and kept Indiana in that game. So guys like Monte Ellis and Rodney Stuckey played really well. And by the way, I should have mentioned for a dream killer, Miles Turner. And Miles Turner was a guy that I was on all day long. He only got 28 minutes. It was hard to say what the hell was wrong with him. It was partly just the whole first quarter for Indiana. It was an utter waste. It was a debacle that from all like the entire starting five. And then the Christmas tree came in. There actually is a guy named Christmas. He's Indiana's like backup center because Al Jefferson was out, and he played really well. And he got extra minutes, and that hurt Turner. Other dream lovers, man, for Minnesota. I mean, Rubio, Wiggins, and Towns in the late night hammer. If you went to bed thinking you're going to make a lot of money, you probably woke up and were like, oh my God, what happened? Because that Sacramento-Minnesota game, that changed all of the cash lines and all the big tournaments because Wiggins was phenomenal. Well, not phenomenal. Wiggins was really good again. Towns was phenomenal. And on Sacramento side, Ty Lawson out of nowhere got 35 minutes. Why the hell that happened, I don't know, but he had 11 points, 9 assists. And Willie Cauley-Stein was really good. He got destroyed defensively, but offensively, and that's why I'm worried he's at some point he'll be too expensive to play, but he's always a good tournament play. In 34 minutes, he had 14 points, 1 block, 1 steal, 5 assists, which was really surprising, and 6 rebounds. All right, injury news for Tuesday. Not a lot. You have Oladipo with back spasms. If he's out, Lobotny is in play again. Hashtag Lobotny. Paul Zipser is still out with an ankle. MCW is out with tendonitis. Fareed has a lower back issue. And Cody Zeller, man, this Cody Zeller cannot get healthy with this whatever this quad is. So Frank the Tank again, maybe, as long as his price isn't too expensive. All right, over-unders. It's pretty exciting because Golden State plays Washington. So finally, we have a game where Golden State's not favored by 4,000 points. They're only favored by 6 points. The over-under is 229. Now, the Washington guys have been overpriced for about a week and a half because their entire starting five plays a ton of minutes and they've all been really good. So they've been kind of hard to play, at least hard to play like 2 or 3 Wizards. This will be a night we can stack the hell out of this game, actually on both sides. If there's actually one night you can actually consider playing some Golden State guys in cash games, it's Tuesday night. Also because it's a small slate as well. Denver, Chicago. So Chicago playing way up in pace, 221 over-under. Charlotte Lakers, Charlotte getting the best matchup in the world besides Brooklyn against the Lakers, who play the worst defense in the NBA, second worst defense, 216 over-under. Portland, Detroit, very intriguing matchup there because you can attack Portland backcourt, you can attack the Portland frontcourt. So Drummond, who's cost me more money than anyone, he's going to be a really good play. Even the bums I'm looking as I say this right now, I'm looking at my sign. I have a sign. I really do, guys. It says, do not play John Lure. But I have an obligation to myself and to you to play any power forward against Portland. So will I play John Lure and Tobias Harris? gosh darn it, I will go down that freaking road again on this slate. Not to mention Reggie Jackson, because I will attack Damian Lillard defense, and KCP, because I will attack CJ McCollum defense. Portland, if you ever wonder why Portland is not a good basketball team, just watch them play defensively, and all of your questions will be answered. Phoenix, Memphis. Yeah, so Memphis playing up in pace, but they're also a 10-point favorite. Quite honestly, that could be a fade game in cash games. Tournaments, play some Memphis guys. Utah, OKC. So Westbrook gets OKC. Quite honestly, you want to fade that game, you could do that as well. Utah playing a little bit up in pace. Over-under 204 for that game. Speaking of pace, as I mentioned, Washington playing way up against Golden State. Memphis playing way up against Phoenix. The Bulls playing way up against Denver. Charlotte playing way up against the Lakers. And Utah playing up in pace against OKC. So you do have four teams that you can significantly attack just based on pace. And again, why do I like pace? It's because basically that the team that's playing up in pace is going to get extra possessions. And remember, to make a long story short, I want to do a whole podcast on usage and a whole podcast on pace. But to make a long story short regarding pace, guys who are playing up in pace are basically underpriced for that particular slate, if you believe the numbers. All right, let's hop into the plays. So point guard, Westbrook is 12K. I don't know what he is on DraftKings. Let me check. What is he on DraftKings? I bet you on DraftKings he's going to be more reasonable. On DraftKings, Westbrook is – wow, he is not. So he's 12.1K on DraftKings too. Against Utah, that's expensive. Now, we have seen guys destroy Utah. You can attack them at the guard position. Zach LaVine lit them up for 50 FanDuel points. Alfred Payton, Magic Mountain himself, lit them up for 50. So could Westbrook give you 60, 70? Yeah, but do I envision that happening? Not really. And remember – to truly take down a tournament, he would probably have to get you like 70 Vandal points on this slate. So always in play. I will play probably 15, 20% exposure in tournaments only. In cash games, I will not use Westbrook. John Wall, he's 10K. I thought his price was going to go up a little bit because based on the matchup, he's 10K on basically DraftKings and FanDuel. He played Utah and had 42 Vandal points last game. So if he can get that against Utah, Westbrook should be able to, you know, do a little better than that. But now he gets Golden State. Steph Curry's on a back-to-back. I think Golden State's played this their three games in four nights. I'm not positive. I need to check on that. I know they are on a long road trip right now. So Wall's in a really good spot. I've been hesitant to play him lately in tournaments because I don't think he's had monster upside at this big price. But if there's a day to play him, it's right now. I already, as I'm doing the show, I locked and load into my cash games, 10K. Sign me up. Steph Curry, man, I love stacking this game. Could I envision me doing a Wall and Curry game in my for cash games? I could. Do I think I'm going to do it? Maybe not, because there's a couple other guys that I really do like as well. But I this is one night where I think doing stuff for cash games might be okay. And for tournaments, absolutely. And you guys know me. What do? When I have a spreadsheet, right? And on my Excel spreadsheet, it's titled Recency Bias, and I write down all the guys who are coming off horrendous games. And the list for Monday is really freaking long because everyone sucked. But who's the number one guy I wrote down? Steph Curry, because he shot 0 for 11 from 3. Is he going to shoot 0 for 11 for 3 on Tuesday? No, he will not. Do I envision a big game? Yes, I do. John Wall is a sneaky good defender, but Curry, to me, is going to be an elite play in tournaments. Right now, not a cash game play, but you can do it. Bledsoe, I don't want to pay 8.5K against Memphis, tournaments only. Kemba Walker, if I don't go Curry in cash games, you could save 1.1K and get Kemba against the Lakers. He's been a little up and down this year, so it's hard to trust Kemba in cash games. Maybe I'm going to have to consult my boys who run the Charlotte Hornet podcast for the All Money Baller Podcast Network. And let me know what they think. Charlotte also is on a long West Coast road trip right now, coming off a really heartbreaking loss to the Clippers on Sunday night, and where Kemba was excellent. Actually, Batum was excellent. Kemba was okay. So But against the Lakers, he should be able to feast, safe for all formats. Mike Conley, I like using – I'm one of the rare guys. I've been playing Conley and Gasol like the last couple weeks in cash games, and I've been winning every night in cash games with both those guys. So they're both playing up in pace. The last couple times I played Conley, against Brooklyn and Golden State when they played last two times he played up in pace. He gave me 43 Fando points both those nights. I also played him against Phoenix. I think it was two weeks ago before the All-Star break. He only gave me about 30 Fando points. That was a weird night. He only had like 5 assists. I remember watching that game. He just looked like he wasn't trying in the first half. The blowout worries me a little bit. I like Kemba over Conley for cash games, but do I think Conley's in a good spot for tournaments? Sure. Playing up in pace, why not? D'Angelo Russell, 6.4K. So the minutes are still an issue. Under 20 or under 30 last game, but I do envision him getting 32 minutes or so on Tuesday night. 6.4K is not cheap. That's not a cheap price tag. Kemba Walker, not a great defender. The pace of this game should be okay. I will not do it in cash games, but this everyone's going to be on, you know, the Golden State Washington game. This is a sneaky game to stack, this Charlotte Lakers game. So could I see myself doing a Kemba Walker Russell lineup as my 2-point guards? I could. I'm going to have to, you know, hope for like a Golden State blowout or something like that. So the opportunity cost doesn't kill me of not playing Curry and Wall. But yeah, I mean, I could do that. George Hill, 6K. I like attacking anyone playing Russell Westbrook, so George Hill, to me, is in play. The problem with him, since Utah's fully healthy now, I don't see massive upside. So I do think he's safe for cash games. I don't see him being an elite tournament play. Also, remember, a couple days, I think on Wednesday, I'm having Andy Larson, who's a Utah Jazz beat writer, on the podcast. Glorious! So maybe he'll give us some insight on when we can play guys like George Hill. Jameer Nelson, 5.6K. He's still starting for Denver. Hasn't been great the last couple games. But if you need to save at point guard, you can play him. Not horrible. Remember, the more and more healthy that Denver gets, though, the more and more his usage drop goes down. And his overall fantasy point production is going to go down as well. Also, I will note on this slate, other positions stink. Shooting guard is atrocious. Even power forward's not really good. And center is okay. So point guard to me is not really the position to save. I'm going to be spending up at point guard probably. Other than that, Rondo for some tournaments, although Rondo, they jacked up his price. Chicago's playing Denver. Rondo's looked decent the last couple nights. He's been close to 30 Fando points. I don't mind that play, but probably tournaments only. Reggie Jackson, 5.3K. I love attacking Judy Dench. Man, I will. Damian Lillard, him and Paul George should go on like a silent retreat together or something and do some meditation and figure out like the meaning of life, the meaning of basketball. Why are they in the NBA? What do they want out of life? Because both of those two guys are exerting no effort on the court whatsoever this year, offensively, defensively. So if Reggie Jackson can get minutes, he got 34 minutes against Boston. So he attacked Isaiah Thomas. Why can't he attack Judy Dench Lillard on Tuesday? And he's dirt cheap. So probably not safe yet for cash games, but you can do it in a tournament. Like, could Reggie give you 35 Fando points, which is 7 times his salary? Yeah, he could. Other than that, that's probably it for point guard for me. Shooting guard. So Wade is the highest priced shooting guard, 8K. The thing I like about Wade these days is he fills up the stat sheet. Close to a triple-double last game. It was actually, if you're watching the game, he had his 10th rebound right at the buzzer, and then Christian Felicio knocked the ball out of his hands. Wade was freaking pissed because as good of a player as Wade has been in his career, he only has like a handful of triple doubles, which is really bizarre. You would have thought like in Miami he would have had like a stretch during at some season where he would have had like 5, 6, 7 in like a couple weeks, but it just hasn't happened for him. But the good thing about him is he plays a lot of point guard for the Bulls right now. The usage rate is still phenomenal. Let me look at it real quick. I should have had it up, so my apologies. The usage rate is still a very delicious 31.2%. It's 3 percentage points higher than CJ McCollum. By far the highest out of any shooting guard. Booker is right around 28%. Beal is only 26%. So to me, Wade playing way up in pace, he's fine. The one issue I have is, does he have enough upside? I think he's fine for cash games. Like, can I see him in the winning tournament lineup? I mean, I could, because it's only a 6-game slate, but you know, he's not cheap. He's 8K, so he needs to give you what to take down a tournament, probably 7-8 times his salary, which is like over, you know, 42 to, you know, 50 FanDuel points. That would be tough for him to do, but I still think it's a fine for any format. Nicholas Batum, I probably prefer Batum to Wade, maybe. Although this is a close one to me, because remember, I love pace, right? So Wade playing way up in pace. I also love matchup, and Batum is playing way up in pace and also has the best matchup in the world. So order in the court. I object to myself because Wade is getting Denver defense. Who do we attack from Denver? We attack Denver guards. And yes, I already can see the Twitter trolls coming in. Gary Harris is a good defender. Yes, all right. Gary Harris is a decent defender. Is he an elite defender? No, he's not. So Wade against Denver shooting guard, safe for all formats. But Batum is up in pace as well. Also a great matchup. So this is a really tough one. I hate doing this, but I will play the same lineup. I'll have Wade in one, I'll have Batum in the other, because it's really too close to call. If I had to choose one, which way would I probably lean? As much as I hate to say it, I probably would lean Batum. I hate saying that because Wade's my favorite player of all time. Next to Jordan. McCollum, I don't mind McCollum for tournaments. This Portland, the Detroit game, though, I'm not a huge fan of this. He's a one-trick pony. This whole Portland team just makes me – I don't like watching them play at all. I don't like watching Judy Dench mope in a corner. I'm not a fan of McCollum. Klay Thompson, whatever. All the Golden State guys to me, because we finally have a game where it's going to be close. He should get decent minutes, and he does. On Monday, he had 21 actual points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 29 FanDuel points. You know, he's basically like Beal, Thompson, McCollum, Booker. They're all the same. They shoot and do nothing else. I mean, out of those guys, give me Beal. So I don't mind Thompson. If you want to be, you know, he'll be somewhat popular on this slate as well. But just give me Beal. Beal's 7K. Klay Thompson has a 24% usage rate. I'll take the 26.4% usage rate that Beal has. So Beal, like I said, Beal's 7K, basically same price as Klay. Devin Booker, 6.5K. He's going against Memphis. So I like Beal 1, Thompson 2, McCollum 3, and Booker 4 if I had to rank those shooting guards. Will Barton, I can't do it in cash. He has all the offensive talent in the world, so tournament, sure. Gary Harris, still too cheap, 5.5K, very fair price. So he's a guy, he's locked into over 30 minutes a night. He cost me winning tournaments on Friday, I think it was. So he cost me a few grand. So right now I want to punch him in the face looking at his stupid FanDuel picture where he's like smirking at me. But safe for all formats at that price tag. KCP, a nice pivot off of Gary Harris is going right to KCP because, as I mentioned, Portland cannot defend shooting guard. They can't defend point guard. And KCP has been locked in the last couple of games. He gets always – Stan Van Gundy loves him, so he's like the one piston. Don't have to worry about minutes at all. And that's – especially for cash games, I hate when one of my players in a cash game lineup – doesn't get minutes. There's nothing worse than that in cash games. Then when your guy gets 18 minutes, KCP guaranteed 35 plus minutes. So to me, yeah, you can have a bad shooting night, but he's still relatively cheap, safe for all formats. Then it gets pretty nasty after that. You have and by the way, I think I mentioned hashtag Lobotany when I said Oladipo was out, and I know I'm gonna get a million emails, a million tweets, because I probably made a mistake. I meant Alex Abreen is probably going to be starting for Oladipo. So he's 3.6K, 35 minutes last game, only 18 FanDuel points, 29 minutes against the Lakers, 21 FanDuel points. At that price, though, if you need to punt shooting guard, Alex Abreen, yeah. Why not? If Oladipo's out. You also have Rodney Hood down here, who is somewhat intriguing at 4.1K. it's just hard to trust these guys. The price, though, for a tournament, you can do it. He can give you 25. If he gets hot, he can give you 30 FanDuel points, so I don't mind that for tournaments. Then Denzel Valentine, another guy you can use in tournaments if you want. Small forward. Sorry, whoever gave me a bad rating for drinking water on the show, but, man, you guys, you should cut the judge some slack because, first of all, it's 4:37 a.m. in the morning. I'm doing a podcast for free. I'm exhausted. I'm thirsty. My voice is hoarse. So sometimes I need some freaking water. Ah, now I feel better. All right. So Kevin Durant, 10.4K. The question is, I can't do it in cash right now because the guy underneath him is Jimmy Butler. So Butler's 1.1K cheaper and he gets Denver. So Butler's playing way up in pace. Give me Butler over Durant in cash games. Now, I will play Durant in some tournaments, obviously. Butler has been so money the last few games. It's like you can just put down 45 FanDuel points and move on. It's just so safe. For cash games, that's what I want. Gordon Hayward, 7.9K. It's just whatever. You can do it. I think he's going to find a way to get you 35 to 40. He is going to get Roberson defense. Guys like Roberson and Cephalosha, they're so long. It might give Hayward a little bit of problems. Right now, I don't – 7.9K is always a tough salary point for me to have. But he should be a the key is if you play Hayward, you need something fluky to happen to take down a tournament, right? You would need like Hayward to outscore Jimmy Butler. Is that possible in this slate? It is. But I'd put – it's probably like, what, 15%? Maybe something like that? So for tournaments, sure. Gallinari, 6.7K. To me, that's too expensive to pay for Gallo. He hasn't shown much upside all year long. So if he has a good game, he'll give me 30 FanDuel points, and that won't even be enough. Wilson Chandler, I'm pissed about this because they jacked up his price. Why he's 6.6K, I don't know. He should be – 6K would be okay to pay. So both him and Gallinari, I want to attack the Bulls at that position. You know, one reason I like attacking the Bulls at – and I wouldn't do it in cash games against Jimmy Butler. But to me, Jimmy Butler's defense has been a little overrated this year because Jimmy Butler has had to exert so much energy on the offensive end. There are certain nights and some nights he'll be locked in defensively, especially if Wade has it going. Then he can exert more energy on the defensive end. But I've witnessed numerous times this year where if Butler is carrying a lot of the offensive load and if Wade's having an off night, defensively, the key can be taken advantage of. Plus, I also think Chandler or Gallinari, they're going to play the four, not the three. Because remember, Fareed is out as well. So whichever one of those two play the four, and actually both of them could actually play the four in this game. They're going to get some like Bobby Portis defense or Mirotić defense. So for matchup wise, I really do like Gallinari or Chandler. I think they're going to be sneaky ninja plays. The problem is they're freaking expensive, and I'm not sure what to do right now with them. Otto Porter, the man without a usage rate. In real life, he's really good, and he should get more shots. But the problem is Washington has a lot of talent in that starting unit. And he goes a quarter standing in the corner without touching the ball. Like he's good enough that he still can hit value, but with a 14.9% usage rate, it's tough for me to call him an elite play on any slate. But I do think an up and down game, it's a perfect game for Otto Porter in terms of style of play. Marcus Morris, it's a blah play. It's fine. MKG, attack the Lakers anytime you can, so I don't mind paying his price tag. Also, he's coming off a really bad game, but remember, he got in foul trouble and was just – Blake Griffin destroyed him. Is he going to get destroyed by anyone on the Lakers? No. If there is one guy in Phoenix I'll play, it's probably going to be TJ Warren or Marquise Chris because they're still cheap enough where I could see them paying off their salary. So I like TJ Warren, 5.3K. Mo Harkless, I don't mind, 4.8K. He's been – very safe, very rock solid for me last few games, giving me 25 to 30. Usually not a big guy I like in tournaments, but for cash games, I like playing him. Brandon Ingram, 4K. Every night for the rest of the season, I will have one tournament lineup and I will play Brandon Ingram. I don't care because when I watch him play, the talent is there. Like, is he ever going to have enough usage and fill up the stat sheet where everything comes together? This year, I'm not sure. But for me, because I want to take down tournaments, he's still so dirt cheap. He's had 24 FanDuel points the last two nights. which is 6 times his salary. So to me, it makes sense to play him at least a little bit. Power forward, Jokic, 9.5K. He's been bad since the All-Star break. Not all his fault. He was in foul trouble one game. He got benched by Mike Malone one game. Against Memphis, last game out, though, he was better. I mean, he had 10 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 34 Fanduel points against Memphis. But to me, that's almost like a win. The other good news, the good part about him playing somewhat subpar is the price goes down. So now he's 9.5K. He gets a Bulls a team that struggled to defend bigs all year long. Robin Lopez is slow as a molasses. So Jokic is in a really good spot here. Power forward is not a good position on this slate. So Jokic, to me, if you don't want to do it in cash, I get it. But to me, I think he's going to have a monster night. Draymond Green, who I hate everything about him. He's just so annoying. And everything he does, just shut up, Draymond Green. I don't want to hear from you. Whatever. Could he help? Could he put up another big night? Of course. So if you want to play him in tournaments, go ahead. Markieff Morris, his price came down a little bit. He was really consistently good for a few weeks. Last couple games, he's been down a little bit. The minutes have been down a little bit as well. If you're going to stack that game, sure. But for cash games, I'm not going to do it. Zach Randolph, I don't really ever want to pay 6K for him. Last time against Phoenix, he did not play. I think he was hurt, or I can't remember. I think he had a funeral, or I can't remember what happened. But, I mean, it's just the problem with him is it's hard. But what's the upside? If you want to play him in a cash game, should he give you stumble, bumble, and fumble and eat some gravy juice and give you 25 Fanduel points? Probably. Frank Kaminsky. See, I'd prefer Kaminsky over Randolph because I think Kaminsky has more upside. Kaminsky's going to get more minutes, probably get more shots up. He's going to he can make some threes, and he is also has a really good matchup against the Lakers. So give me Frank the Tank. Yeah, I think Frank the Tank at 5.9K is a fantastic play. All formats. A nice little game stack. You could have your other power forward. You can use Julius Randle. He's 5.9K. Minutes are still an issue for him as well. He still struggles to get 30. But he's gonna have a big night. It's just I hate playing the Lakers guys, and you can't trust them, any of them, for cash. But guys like Russell, guys like Randle, guys like Ingram, they all do have talent. So it's just getting them on the right night. Is Charlotte the right night for them? You can attack Charlotte bigs, especially Zeller's out. So they've struggled to defend big guys. So this is a good spot for Randle. I don't mind it for tournaments. I really don't. Other than that, I mentioned Tobias Harris. He's coming off a horrendous night. I played him, and he was god-awful. And he had 33 minutes, and that's what pissed me off because he got the minutes, only had 15 Fanduel points against Boston. He gets Portland. You destroy Portland power forwards. So I like Tobias Harris, and I'm going to say it again. I like John Lure. And I also like the fact that John Lure's price went down because he was so bad last game. So Lure's 4.6K. I know I'm looking at my sign. It says don't play him, but I'm going to freaking play him. Before his last dud, he had 3 straight games before that over 20 Fanduel points. And if he just gives me between 20 and 30, I'll take that. Marvin Williams against the Lakers, he's fine. I think Taj Gibson is okay. If there's one guy from OKC I'd play besides Westbrook and maybe a Breen, maybe it would be some Taj Gibson as long as he's going to start. Although right now, I guess he didn't start his first 2 games. Although you figure they got to start him soon over Sabonis. Marquese Chris, it's against Memphis, but he's dirt cheap. He's getting – last game was, I think, a little bit of a misnomer against Milwaukee. Only got 16 minutes. But before that, he's been really good after the All-Star break. So tournaments, you can do that. Mirotić, I like him for tournaments against Denver. Major upside there. Bobby Portis has been really disappointing. I don't understand why they traded Taj Gibson in part to give Bobby Portis minutes. In the first 2 games, he's got 19 and 16. Meanwhile, Mirotić has gotten 29 and 37. So obviously, Mirotić appears to be the better play between those two right now. All right, center, Marc Gasol, 8.2K against Phoenix. And to me, it's a safe play. Does it have monster upside? Maybe not, but I think he's going to find a way to give you between 30 and 40 Fanduel points. You know, if you and plus if you're worried about playing Drummond, because Drummond always lets us down, play Gasol. He's a little bit safer. But for tournaments, give me the sleepy man. Give me the sleepy Tin Man himself. Give me Andre Drummond, captain of the Tin Man team, along with other captains, Paul George and Anthony Davis. Then again, I think I want to take Anthony Davis off the team. Anthony Davis just gets hurt a lot. I think he has a heart. He's just unlucky. Like guys like Drummond, Elfrid Payton, Paul George, Damian Lillard, those guys are freaking Tin Men. Also, Drummond's sleepy. I think he has a sleeping disorder. So he gets Portland. Nurkic has been better for you know, I watched Nurkic give Vucevic for Orlando a really tough time down low. So maybe, you know, maybe Drummond, you know, he can, maybe Nurkic can box Drummond out a little bit, but Drummond should be able to feast against Nurkic. And I like him for tournaments. Right now, I'm not pulling the trigger in cash games, but I'm still debating it. Rudy Gobert, 7.9K, coming off a monster game for him with 50 Fando points. I'm not a huge fan of attacking Steven Adams, so, and he's expensive, so I don't love that play. It's okay. Gortat, another Washington guy without a usage rate. I mean, Gortat's usage rate is laughable. It is, where is it? 14.5%. It's worse than Otto freaking Porter. If you combined Gortat and Otto Porter's usage rate, it basically, it's 28%. And that's what? That's like Bradley Beal. I think it's not even as good as Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal is at 26%. So it's a little better than Bradley Beal, I should say. So with that said, Golden State, as you know, hopefully they have trouble rebounding. They're one of the worst rebounding teams in the NBA per 100 possessions. At least I think that stat's correct. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, don't worry. I'm sure I'll hear from you guys. Gortat's fine. Yeah, I got nothing else there. I got nothing else to say. I don't want to talk anymore about a guy with a 14% usage rate at 5 o'clock in the morning. Steven Adams, 5.9K. Similar to how I don't like attacking Steven Adams, like I don't want to use a lot of Gobert. I don't want to use a lot of Steven Adams. I don't like attacking Rudy Gobert. So, not a huge fan of Adams. I will play one lineup with like a Westbrook Adams combo because I've done that every day since as far as I can remember, and I've been able to win a lot of money some nights. So they will both be somewhat low owned because people will be scared to attack Utah. People are always scared to attack Utah, and for most nights, rightfully so. Nurkic, 5.3K. So I'm looking at my list of recency bias. Who's up there? I have Nurkic coming off of a horrendous night. He got an early foul trouble against Toronto. So I like Nurkic. He's 5.3K. You know, if you're Detroit, you can attack Portland bigs, but vice versa. Man, Drummond is regressed so much on both levels, offensively, defensively, in real life, in his personal life. I mean, man, I don't know what the hell has been going on with Drummond this year. So Nurkic to me is in a really good spot. He's just, all he has to do is stay out of foul trouble. Now, easier said than done, but at 5.3K, he could give you 35, 40 Fando points as long as he doesn't get in foul trouble and Terry Stotts doesn't turn into a troll and limit his minutes. That price is phenomenal. Real quickly, let me check his price on DraftKings. DraftKings' price might be a little bit higher. No, DraftKings is only 5.8K, so he's fine for both sites. Other than that, then you got Robin Lopez, 4.8K. I mean, I'm not sure who the Bulls are going to use to defend Nurkic. I mean, sorry, to defend Jokic. I mean, on one hand, I could see them using a lot of Robin Lopez because they need a big body. On the other hand, Robin Lopez is just a really, really bad defender. He's so slow. He's immobile. He can't move. He can't jump. Now, Jokic is not supremely gifted athletically. So maybe they give Robin – if Robin Lopez can just get 25 minutes, he'll be able to hit value. So I don't mind that play. And if you play him in like a tournament, you just hope that they try to use him to guard Jokic. Zubac is 3.6K. I'll just mention him because I love attacking Charlotte bigs. And if the Lakers keep saying they're going to give Zubac more minutes, can't do it in cash games, maybe as a sneaking into tournament play. And that's it. That's the slate. We got through it. So the more I think about it, I actually really do like this slate. I think it's an interesting slate. And I think we can take advantage of it and make some good money here. So have any questions, feel free to tweet at me at DanielAGreen1. If I have time and if you guys are kind enough to the judge, maybe I'll do a nice little 5-10 minute audio clip around 6 p.m. Eastern to give you my top plays, you know, after all the injury news and lineup news comes in tomorrow. Also, if you want to get in chambers, remember, feel free to tweet at me, and I'll try to do my best to get you in. There's only 20 spots in each of the FanDuel tournaments, 60 total, 50 spots in DraftKings, so I can't get everyone in, but I do my best. And yeah, that's about it. So for the bailiff, for the judge, hope you achieve glory on Monday. Hope you can achieve glory on Tuesday. Court is adjourned.